So back to the waiver. It says that the participants have full knowledge that if they're selected to visit the barber, that you can leave completely bald, including your eyebrows. And people do. They like on the reg cut people's hair and like shave their heads. And then often they're forced to eat their hair.
Oh, God. Yuck.
Yeah.
What?
Not only are they forced to eat their hair, but they're force-fed a lot of rotten meat and bugs and rotten eggs, like rotten, like fucked up shit. And then if you throw up, you have to
no,
eat
no,
it.
No, 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 no. I knew you were going to say that. That's one of my yep. absolute, I can't.
Mm-hmm. So the people that work in this place are making people vomit and then shoving it in their face.
That is so fucked up. It's fucked up. So fucked up. It is just so damn fucked up. That's fucked up.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. This is That's So Fucked Up, a podcast about cults, murder, and other generally fucked up stuff. We're your hosts. I'm Ashley Richards.
And I'm Cameron Dexter. We're going to kick off the show with our show recommendation of the week. So enjoy this promo from Crime Labs.
They murdered her. A vile and disgraceful act.
We were able to discover the remains of two humans.
Welcome to Crime Labs. I am Eileen.
And I'm Charlie.
Crime Labs is a true crime podcast that uses primary audio, in-depth research, and emotive narration to give you an immersive insight into the darkest tales and most horrifying crimes.
Find Crime Labs wherever you listen to podcasts and at Crime Labs Podcast or at Crime Labs Pod on social media. Everyone has a story to tell, so why not let us tell you some?
So yeah, I really love Crime Labs. Eileen and Charlie, I think they both are really good storytellers. I love how they work together. It's always just like a really seamless and engaging story. There's never any fluff. I'm never feeling bored, like kind of, okay, can you fucking move it along, you know? So check them out.
And if you like them, leave them a review. You can also rate and subscribe or D all of the above.
And if you guys choose to leave us a review, which we would absolutely love, we will put you in a drawing to win some free merch. Also, just a 5 stars is like a real quick boop, and that's super awesome too. And hello, patrons. Happy Wednesday. You guys, this is our first week where we're releasing our Patreon episode early, so the patrons are getting to hear this on Wednesday. We're super excited about that. I hope you guys are having a great Wednesday and, you know, happy fucked up Friday to everybody else. We're super duper excited about this episode and we're super excited to announce listenersodes coming up on Tuesday, the 22nd. That's when we're putting our first one out. So send in your stories, you guys, please. We've got quite a few, but we're just still compiling them to get all kinds of episodes ready for you guys. And finally, I know it's just like announcement corner right now. We just have had so many exciting things going on. But our watch party is not this Friday, but next Friday, the 18th. And that's going to be at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And we're going to be watching Ratched with Ariel Cooksey from Malice. Are you excited for Ratched or what? I've like watched the fucking preview on YouTube like 10
totally.
Times.
It's going to be great.
It looks so yeah. bad. Okay, enough. I'm going to get into what I'm here to talk about, which is McCamey Manor. But before I do that, I wanted to do a little bit about the history of haunts because I found it super duper fascinating. Mm-hmm. One of my big sources was a documentary called Haunters, The Art of the Scare. And actually, after I watched the documentary, I messaged the filmmaker because I thought the documentary was super interesting. And he spent about a week filming at McCamey Manor. So this man has peeked behind the fucking curtain. So I'm so excited to talk to him because he agreed to an interview with us. Cam and I get to interview him later today. We're so excited. So if you guys haven't seen that documentary, you can watch it on Tubi for free, which is an app you can download, I think, on your computer probably, or on your smart TV. And it's a really good documentary. So we get to talk to John Schnitzer later.
I'm stoked.
Who was the maker of the film. That's actually going to be a bonus episode for everybody this month. Don't worry, patrons. You're still going to get your exclusive bonus, but this is going to be available to everybody. So kind of a big deal, you guys. We're going to get a little behind the scenes action. Right now, as I tell the story, there's still some mystery to it because the thing about this guy, Russ McCamey, who owns the McCamey Manor, he loves to be hated.
Okay.
That's a big thing of his.
Okay.
So a lot of the reasons that people are like, oh, fuck McCamey Manor, are things I think that he kind of makes up and puts out there on purpose to just create more hype. Like, he does not mind that people hate him.
Got it.
But in saying that, he has a Facebook group where he has all these like little minions, and anybody who trash talks his manor, he tells them to go like troll them on Facebook, and he tells them to go on YouTube and shit and like delete comments from the quote unquote haters. Because there's huge controversy surrounding this guy and this. I'm not even going to call it a fucking extreme haunt because that's not what it is. But yeah, so there's a lot of mystery that surrounds him. Shit that I think that he makes up just to get people all fucking riled up. Uh-huh. So I'm super excited to talk to John because I'm going to fucking just see what the fuck's going on there.
And he got exclusive interviews with Russ?
Oh, yeah. Oh, cool. He was filming with Russ for a week.
Sweet.
And he actually interviewed your dude too, the blackout dude.
Oh, Josh Randall.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. So that's going to be really dope. So haunts actually arose during the Depression as escapism. That's when Frankenstein, Dracula, what's another scary one from back in the day? I don't know, but you get the gist. That's when like scary monster movies started to come out and when haunts started to come out because it was a way for people to escape.
Huh.
And I think that's the same today with scary movies and true crime and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily true crime. Actually, I think there's a lot of kind of valid reasons that we look at true crime that are kind of ingrained into us.
Mm-hmm.
But scary movies and haunted houses and especially stuff like that, it's a way to take you away from your normal life and normal worries and kind of put you into a different state. And back then, it was expensive to build roller coasters at fairs and stuff. So it was usually much cheaper just to put up a haunted house where you could, boo, scare people and shit, you know?
Oh, cool. Okay.
And then later, it was actually popularized by an organization called Campus Life, which was a Christian youth organization, and they started putting on haunted houses to get more people involved with their organization. So I find it super funny that all of this, you know, sort of evolved from like a Christian youth group trying to get people interested in in them.
That's hilarious. That's insane.
Huge dichotomy. Yeah.
Sure.
So around 2003 is when people saw torture for real the first time. That was the time that Abu Ghraib and Guantanamo Bay pictures and videos came up.
Mm-hmm.
And right shortly after that is when torture porn was born. Hostel saw all that shit.
Huh.
Came out not long after that. And my friend mentioned something that I thought was interesting. She said that people often create things as a way to process what's going on around them.
Sure.
So I don't know, that might be giving the makers of those movies too much credit. I don't know if that was it or if they were just capitalizing on the horror going on in the world. But I was like 15 when all that stuff came out. So when I was doing the research for this, I did some research on that too. And like, our government is so fucked. The stuff that they were doing to these people and the pictures I saw, mm-hmm. like, so nuts. But as all this is happening and all these torture porn movies are starting to come out and stuff, you know, people are becoming more and more desensitized to violence all the time. Like you said, Blackout has really evolved too into something much scarier because people need more and more stimulus to reach that. It's like chasing the dragon.
Yep.
It's like a high.
Yep.
Like you're always reaching that next high. It's never good enough.
Well, and it's too, it's like the creators get used to what they're doing. So they've become desensitized. So the more you do this.
Oh, absolutely.
Like the more you do it, the more extreme you're getting. It's just like, it's natural.
Exactly. It's a natural evolution
right.
of all of it.
Right.
So I just thought that was like a pretty interesting little history. And now I'm going to tell you a little bit about this motherfucker named Russ McCamey. So he started doing these haunts in San Diego around the mid 90s. And started off as just a regular haunted house, you know, boo, mm-hmm. scary. Mm-hmm. But like we're saying, just progressively got more and more extreme. I don't know exactly when it started getting to the level of extremeness that I saw, which I saw a video from 2008, which was apparently pretty tame. And what I saw in this video is it was his neighbor, Grace, and I find it so crazy that his neighbor did it. But she said, you know, she like was always wondering what was going on there. And she said that she was going through something in her personal life. And a lot of people said that about McCamey Manor too, is like they wanted to feel like they were strong and like they could overcome something like really gnarly. Dude, jump out of a plane, go skydiving. I promise you, it's terrifying and you might die, but it's fun. It's fucking awesome. So his neighbor Grace was going through some shit and she said that she got there and was like, what the fuck am I doing here? So she said she hopped the fence and started running down the street.
Away?
And away.
To get away.
Yeah, to get away. Okay. She was like, fuck this shit.
Okay.
Russ's wife got in the car, Carol. It's Carol Schultz. It's his ex-wife now.
Does she go by Errol? Inside joke now.
She probably should. Errol and us.
Yeah, right? Right?
Russ.
Yeah.
Yeah, but she divorced his psychotic abusive ass. Oh. So,
okay.
Because this man is crazy. People should really do their research before they put their lives into the hand of sadistic psychopaths. Just saying. Okay. So Carol got in her car and started driving down the street, and Grace dove into the bushes, and Carol stopped and got out of the car and was like, Grace, I know you're in there. Got her in the car and took her back. Now, if this is not a nightmare scenario already, I don't know what the fuck is. If I decide I don't want to do it, I don't want to do it. Like, my heart is already starting to race.
Wow. Wow.
This is what like flabbergasts me, though. She did it two more times. So I don't know, man. So he said that he wouldn't put her into a coffin because she said that was like one of her biggest fears. He also asks you what your biggest fears are and then uses those against you. So I get asking, what, you're afraid of spiders? Okay, I'm going to put spiders on you then. But if somebody says, do not do this to me, mm-hmm. then you can't do that. But no, that's not how it works there. So he put her in a coffin and some other fucked up stuff, but yeah, that's just about the neighbor. I'm going to go into when things are really starting to really pick up. So it got super duper extreme around 2014. And actually a few years ago, they had to move to Summertown, Tennessee and Huntsville, Alabama. I don't understand what that means. Apparently they have tours at both locations. I don't know if they're super close to each other and maybe you go from one location to another.
Okay.
It was pretty confusing, mm-hmm. but apparently he had to move there because of legal troubles. Apparently sure. he owes a shit ton in like tax money and stuff. Like I said, this man is just covered in mystery.
Okay.
So his description on the website of what McCamey Manor is you will live your own horror movie. The next evolution in interactive survival horror theater. I also want to mention that interactive and theater were spelled wrong.
What?
And this is not theater. The next evolution in intertactive survival horror theatre.
Nice.
Theater.
I think that's a good sign. Like, put my life in the hands of people who can't string a sentence together.
Yeah.
Nice.
It says, each tour will be based upon your personal fears and can last up to 3 hours. That's now. That's what it says on the website. It used to be up to 10 hours.
I can't, dude. I just can't.
I'm just gonna say that one more time for the motherfuckers in the back. 10 hours!
Even three, that's three times what Blackout is. That's three times it.
No.
Times three.
No, I know. I can't even breathe right now. So he calls it a performance also. This is interactive theater. And there is one performance per week, year round. How many weeks are there in a year?
52.
So he tortures 52 people a year.
That's it. Okay. Wow. Like, so he
does it once a week. Motherfucker can't get enough. I mean, I've seen videos where it's two people going in. I know that two people do go in together.
Okay.
Like probably fairly frequently, but they separate you a lot.
So it's similar where it's not a group experience.
No.
Got it. Mm-mm. Got it.
No. And it's based on like your personal fears.
Okay.
Although it's really funny because, you know, he's like in Alabama or Tennessee or whatever now.
Yeah.
And he does things to humiliate and degrade people. Like he makes them go and buy a Halloween costume, often like an adult onesie.
Okay.
Just to humiliate them more.
Yeah.
And somebody said that, you know, they saw a video of somebody just like dragging a huge tire around for hours. And they were like, it looks like Russ is just making people do yard work at this point.
What?
Like dressed in a fucking like cow onesie or some shit. I don't know. It's all very weird. But this is fucking weird. You have to be at least 21 or you can be 18 with a parent's permission, but he used to have 16-year-olds working in there.
What?
At the time that the documentary was made, there was fucking 16-year-olds working there, like torturing people. How are you old enough to work there if you're not allowed to do it? Also, I saw this video on YouTube and they were like the actors were in masks and Russ was standing there and another girl was standing there and she said she used to be an actor. And she was like, yeah, you know, I used to love to do this because it was like for the love of the haunt. But now I just feel like it's torturing people and I don't feel good about it anymore. And I'm afraid to be around Russ alone. And he was like, whatever. He's off to the side with his camera, too. He's like, whatever. That's bullshit. Like, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
And then this guy is asking, like, I don't remember if I saw this on YouTube or on John's documentary, but this guy was asking them, why do you guys do this? Why do you work there?
Yep.
And one of the guys was like, well, I just fucking can't wait all week to come do this shit. And like, just, I get angry at work all week and everything. And then I get to come here on the weekend and let it out. And I'm like, oh, that's terrifying. People just letting out all of their shit on you. And then this one guy said that he was a felon.
Nice.
For robbery. He goes, for murder. And then he goes, no, just kidding, robbery. And he also has a lot of ex-military working there.
Mm-hmm.
And this isn't saying anything negative about military members, but a lot of people that were in the military, especially if they were in service, have PTSD. And PTSD manifests in all kinds of ways. And one of the symptoms is violence.
Yeah. Yep.
So having unstable individuals who have a propensity for violence, who have an okay to not stop when somebody says so.
Fuck.
Is fucking terrifying.
Wow.
Like,
wow.
I'm shaking. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. Yeah. So you have to pass a physical exam, a background check, and a drug test.
Okay.
To be able to do it. Russ says that he's like, he's a real straight-laced guy because he's never smoked a cigarette or drank coffee or had a sip of alcohol or done drugs. But you know who else is like a super straight-laced guy who hasn't done all that shit? Fucking psychopath serial killers. That's who.
Right.
You know? Like Mr. Nice Guy, pillar of the community. Not that this guy's a pillar of the community whatsoever. People hate him. But, you know, just the real like straight edge, clean cut type of deal.
Right.
And there's a sign on his website that says not recommended for pregnant women, blah, blah, blah. You know the whole thing.
Yep.
Or if you're a big wimp, it says in capital letters. So apparently if you're not okay with being tortured for multiple hours on end, you're a big wimp.
Oh, right.
Okay. So you're shaming anybody who is, yeah. And then, like I said, he calls everybody online who talks any shit. He's like, oh, that's just the haters. And again, it's so mysterious because this guy puts videos online of him torturing people, but he's never been prosecuted of anything. So it's crazy. It's so fucking mysterious. And I think people get really amped up. They say that he's pulling teeth and injecting people with drugs and stuff. And I think at least those two things are things that he puts out there. He puts videos of and stuff. He'll like use rubber pliers and like pull super hard on people's teeth. And like they think that they're getting pulled. He wants people to think that it's worse than it is.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that it's not the worst thing I've ever fucking seen,
yep.
You know,
yep.
But he wants people to make it worse than it is. And there's a 40-page waiver that takes at least 2 hours to sign. And I'll read you some of the stuff in the waiver. And I think some of it is to scare you even more and to scare the public more, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. Because I just don't see how he'd be getting away with that stuff.
But it must be a good contract because, you know, Blackout, you have to sign a contract as well.
Mm-hmm.
They must be pretty good contracts, right? Because
it must be. And I think there's probably an NDA in it, like a non-disclosure agreement, which is, I think, why people can't or are not talking about it more. A lot of people have had this experience and not many people are talking about
it,
which is why it's so mysterious too.
Okay.
And he has a closed Facebook group where it's a lot of people who have been through or want to go through.
Yep.
And I think, again, I'm a little mysterious on this, but I'm pretty sure sometimes he live streams the, we'll call them torture sessions, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. to his private Facebook group.
Okay.
So I don't know, man. Like, if you're into watching people get tortured in real life, I don't know. Saw is one thing. Like, do your thing, Cam, you know? But if you're, like, actually into watching people get tortured in these videos, if somebody is looking up at me and pleading, I don't have the ability. What the fuck is wrong with you that you can continue to, like, mm-hmm. fuck with somebody when they're pleading with you? You have to be a fucking psychopath of some sort, mm-hmm. I think. So let me tell you a little bit about the waiver. So it says, participant understands and agrees that they are not being tortured and this is just a game. He says multiple times that this is just a game.
Hmm. Okay.
Pretty fucked up game, yep. I think. They are not being beat up, kicked, slugged, or actually physically harmed. That's a complete lie. People are they're definitely being physically harmed.
Okay.
Maybe nobody's punching them mm-hmm. in the face or anything, mm-hmm. but they're slamming their bodies up against things, open-handed, hard slapping them. Mm-hmm. Like people like leave bleeding and bruised. It's very physical, so that's a fucking lie. I watched a girl who had gone through it. She said, and this girl, her video said non-extreme boo haunt is what it was, like boo scary. Oh, it wasn't extreme. It's so fucking insane that he would call it non-extreme. And she said that he edited it a bunch too to make it look less extreme. but she said she left with a huge gash on her head and she had a headache for days because they just kept slamming her into things. And yeah, she left super physically fucked up. And she was one of the earlier guests. I think she was around 2014.
Wow.
Yeah. And he told her, you're my guinea pig. So I think that's when things started getting really extreme because he told her, you're my guinea pig. And that was pretty extreme. So I think he just got crazier and crazier from there.
Wow. Wow.
It says they are never being held against their will. But see, this is also super fucking mysterious. If there is a safe word or not, I know there used to not be. I think there might now be.
Okay.
I've heard that there's no safe word. I've heard that there's a safe phrase that happens every time or that changes every time.
Okay.
I read somebody said on a YouTube video that they had done the tour and their safe word was the N word.
What?
So if they wanted to stop the tour, they would have to.
What the
and
fuck?
Russ will make you yell your safe word for minutes before
Shut
you stop. So
fuck
this guy
up.
Said he'd be on video yelling that.
Oh my
so
God.
He's never come forward to like say anything. So I think what I've heard from multiple people is that Russ is super duper manipulative because he like gets people who have gone through to like be his little minions afterwards and even work for him. He psychologically fucks people up. This girl, Gabby, who had done it, did a video like 5 years later and said she finally was ready to talk about it because she finally realized how fucked up it was and how abusive and manipulative Russ had been.
God, what a piece of shit.
He's a giant piece of shit. And number 50 on the waiver states that they don't stop until serious physical or psychological injuries are present. So basically, they don't stop until they absolutely break you.
Wow.
Yeah, and Gabs, the one who was, you know, the guinea pig, she said that Russ said at an hour in, you have a chance now for this to stop. And if you don't take it, that's it. So I don't know if that was the case for other people too.
Mm-hmm.
Like you got an out early on, mm-hmm. and if you don't take it, then you're just like a fucking mouse and he's the cat and he just plays with you until you're done. And in these videos that he shoots every time, he's just laughing and smiling and getting so much pleasure out of it.
Gross.
And this woman named Amy Milligan, who went in October of 2015, she did come forward. And she said that she was screaming, I can't breathe. And the actors kept laughing. And they do a lot of simulated drowning here. Also, they stick drills up people's noses. And I saw an interview with his daughter, and it's sad because she's kind of, you can tell she's psychologically fucked up. She hasn't seen him in like 10 years. This man's horrible. He's abusive and crazy. But she like was standing up for him a little bit because that's what happens when
Stockholm syndrome.
You fucking have, exactly.
Yep.
And she goes, well, it's not like a real drill. There's like a rubber drill bit. Having a rubber drill bit up your nose is still really going to hurt
mm-hmm.
and fuck you up. It doesn't matter if it's not metal, even if it's rubber. Like, so Milligan also, she left a good review on video for the video that he was going to put on YouTube
mm-hmm.
because she wanted people to see how gnarly it had been. But she said that he had edited all of the worst parts out.
Wow.
So back to the waiver. It says that the participants have full knowledge that if they're selected to visit the barber, that you can leave completely bald, including your eyebrows. And people do. They like on the reg cut people's hair and like shave their heads. And then often they're forced to eat their hair.
Oh, God. Yuck.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Not only are they forced to eat their hair, but they're force-fed a lot of like rotten meat and bugs and like rotten eggs, like rotten, like fucked up shit. And then if you throw up, you have to
eat it. No. I knew you were going to say that. That's one of my absolute, I can't.
Mm-hmm. So the people that work in this place are making people vomit and then shoving it in their face. Oh, also sometimes you have to eat the other participants.
No.
Nothing's off the table.
Stop
here,
it.
You guys. Yeah, but so John, in his documentary, he goes, just the smells. just the smells. Can you imagine the smells?
I can't even.
And then they like put blood in their mouth and like spit it in your face. So they're like also just spitting in your face the whole time and shit.
I can't.
Oof. There's also mouse traps set up, and it says it might result in bruising, cutting, or breakage of fingers. It says you can be buried alive under 12 feet of dirt and rock, and you'll have limited amount of air to breathe, and you have to figure out how to escape. And if you breathe in at the right time, you could possibly fucking die because you're breathing in stuff. I don't know if they actually bury people 12 feet under, but I do know that they like simulate bury people alive. And it says that you could be selected to participate in a height stunt that involves you walking a plank above 25 feet above the ground. So there's just stuff like that, that like, you don't know if it's true or not, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. Or is it there just to scare people? But it does say that if you're selected to come in contact with a variety of, or that you will come in contact with a bunch of poisonous animals, and it's your job not to panic so that you don't get bitten. So I don't know if the animals are actually poisonous, but they do put tarantulas on people's faces and stuff when they say that's their worst fear. And they're like, don't fucking move or that's going to bite you and you're going to die.
Wow.
And he claims that there's a $20,000 prize, but most people are now on to the fact that that's definitely a fucking lie. Mm-hmm. Because he'll always kind of, well, first of all, he pushes people until they break. And he says, the manor will always win. But there was an ex-Navy SEAL that made it through over 6 hours, and he was not going to break. So Russ just kept dunking him in ice-cold water until he was, like, freezing. And then he said, no, we got to stop the tour. You're getting hypothermia. So he's just, like, a cheap motherfucker as well. Oh, and another way that you can lose your prize money is if you cuss, because there's no swearing allowed. Because they just don't do that kind of stuff at the manor. No crazy sex stuff and no cussing.
Oh, of course.
Okay, you
right.
guys.
Yeah, okay.
It was really funny. Somebody on Reddit compared him to Willy Wonka with the fizzy lifting drinks. Oh, you're disqualified. You stole. yeah. And
wait, do you think that there's information or that McCamey Manor is on the dark web?
Okay. So there's a lot of mystery about that. He has said before that he's live streaming the stuff to Vegas, and people in Vegas are basically running a red room saying what they want done.
That's totally dark web. Bingo.
Really?
Yeah.
Get the fuck out. Oh my God. On Fucked Up Bingo?
Yeah, I think so.
No way, Jose. Tell me.
All right. People meet on the internet, Facebook groups.
Yeah.
Mass hysteria, totally.
Yeah.
Free space.
Yes.
Dark web, bloodshed.
Dark web conspiracies, potentially. Yes.
Okay. Boom.
Oh my.
Right?
Oh, that might be the first time that anybody won Fucked Up Bingo. Congratulations.
We did it. I'll keep playing. Yep. All right.
So also, I don't know how the $20,000 prize could be a thing, because admission is a bag of dog food.
What? Wait.
Yeah.
I don't understand. To pay for it?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's how
you
much
don't
it
have
costs.
To pay. You just donate a bag of dog food. That's his payment for torturing you.
Got it. Wow.
So he's not like making money. And I think the reason that he uses dog food as the payment is that he doesn't have to pay for insurance or follow business practices, because it's just whatever.
Oh, there's no business right? There's no business transaction.
Right. It's just, you're just donating something and I'm giving you an experience.
Oh,
so I can do whatever the fuck I want.
Loopholes.
Yeah, I think this guy has found a lot of loopholes. But the dark web, you know, there was also rumors that it's streaming to Thailand and these other places, but I've done so much research trying to figure out if like red rooms are a real fucking thing. And what I've heard is that, well, Russ is not smart. Somebody said Russ isn't smart enough for that. But also you have to run it on this, like a server that's called Tor or something, and it's super slow. And so I don't know. So he's probably not doing that, but like maybe he's live streaming it to Facebook.
Okay.
That's totally a potential thing.
Okay.
And then his weird fucking little McMinions. I just made that up.
Nice.
Just, you know, watching it happened. So yeah. So it starts off with kidnapping. You meet at a park. You sign a 40-page waiver while they're harassing you. They're like slapping you, pulling at you and shit. So I don't even know how a contract is valid if you're like under duress while you're signing it. And then you're thrown into a back of a van, blindfolded, everything. This is Gab's experience, like I said, the non-extreme one. Mm-hmm. She was pushed to the ground and had to crawl through a cage into the garage. And she was put in a deep freezer with chains. They chained it closed. And when she tried to put her hand out, the actor slammed the freezer on her hand. And she said that when Russ opened up the freezer, the look of satisfaction on his face was just like terrifying. And he just looked so happy to see her that scared. And then she was put in a coffin and into a straitjacket, put into the water. And she said she was put into a cage that she only had about 2 inches to breathe at the top, but she had a heavy chain on her neck. So she had to like really fight to keep her head up while she had this chain on her neck and it's freezing water while she's in a straitjacket.
I feel like I would have like a stroke, man.
Some people have. People have had. I don't know if anybody's had a stroke, but one person had a heart attack.
I'm not surprised.
And Russ goes, oh, the heart attack. Yeah, that was a good day. Smiling.
Wow.
He's a fucking psycho.
Wow.
Yeah, and she said that she had to use a special mouthwash afterwards because, oh, actually, that was somebody else, but somebody else had to use a special mouthwash with alcohol in it afterwards because the scratches on the inside of their mouth from the people fish hooking their mouths, which is when they like take their fingers and like yep. put it in your mouth yep. and pull your mouth back and apart. She said the scratches on the inside of her mouth were like so bad that she had to use a special mouthwash every couple hours. Mm-hmm. Listen to this shit. So this girl, Laura Hertz Brotherton, she came from Colorado in October of 2016, and she had been a part of the Facebook group because you have to be a part of the Facebook group to get selected.
Okay.
And he gets pretty involved with members and stuff. And this woman, I guess, began an affair with somebody else in the Facebook group.
Okay.
So when she got there with her boyfriend, Russ called her out, was like, oh, you're having a fucking affair with like so-and-so. And then he said, yeah, I said that. Like, I use anything against people, their fears, anything. So just upon arrival, that's how it started.
Mm-hmm.
And she said that she thinks that because of that, he treated her more harshly. And I did see a lot of people were like, think that he hates women, which it sounds like he does. He's very abusive to his partners and well, mm-hmm. as well. But I can see this, that this man probably does hate women and has that incel mentality of like, oh, this bitch is just a cheating bitch or whatever, mm-hmm. you know?
Mm-hmm.
So this is 2016. Things are getting crazier. She said she was whipped and tased, and she has scars from everything that they did. She said she was repeatedly hit in the face over and over and over again, in quotes, like open-handed, as hard as a man could hit a woman in the face. She said she was blindfolded with duct tape and submerged underwater by her ankles for so long that her body started involuntarily thrashing. And she had to dig a hole with her bare hands and then was forced to lie in it and covered with dirt with just a straw to breathe. And she said that the dirt started going into her throat and she started to swallow it and she was coughing and she kept saying, I need water. But for another 20 minutes, they just kept splashing water in her face and throwing dirt on her. And she said that she had to, apparently at this point there was a safe word, but she said she had to repeat the safe word for several minutes before they stopped. So either there is no safe word or you have a chance for one earlier and then it's void, or I don't know. The safe word thing is super mysterious.
WTF.
Yeah. No, it's WTF to the max. So it's really fucking weird because according to McCamey, he says that his only source of income is his $800 monthly retirement check. But he said that the haunts cost about $500 to run per haunt. So $500 a weekend, he claims, which I don't know. Like, what the fuck are you talking about, right?
Well, I bet it costs that much for the actors and to get all the crap they need. And like, don't you think?
I guess it, well, in his mind, he's producing movies, by the way. Let me just say that.
Right.
He said it's all for that Kodak moment. That's what he said. That's why he films it all. That's why
he's selling the content. There's absolutely no way that he can live off living off $300?
Well, no, hold on.
All right. Talk to me. Let me know. Talk to me.
No, but I know everything about him is enraging, yeah. So I get it. Yeah. His ex-wife, Errol. Go listen to the Zendik episode if you guys don't know what we're talking about.
Yeah.
But quick synopsis, if you want to be a cult leader, just drop the first letter of your name. It sounds cooler. You're more mysterious. Boom.
Yep.
It doesn't work for everybody. Shli isn't great, but Amarin, amazing.
You think,
you know?
Amarin.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It sounds like a precious stone.
Yeah.
But Carol, his ex-wife, said in the documentary Haunters, where John interviewed her, she said that he's a veteran of foreign wars service officer. So maybe he has retired since then. I'm not sure. But this is like my fucking favorite. He's also a wedding singer. Like, that's his day job.
We have to find some YouTube videos of him wedding.
Oh, no, there's absolutely YouTube videos. Like, he's...
We have to post one. I have to see one. That's amazing. That's ridiculous.
In the documentary...
It's ridiculous.
They play a video of him doing his wedding singing thing, just being all like so charismatic and his business name is Musical Excitement with Russ.
Yuck. That's gross. That's just nasty. That's just like a
so
what a creep.
Yeah, so that's his
dude.
Day job.
Russ, if you're listening, you're a fucking creep, yo. Like,
fuck you, dude. We are the haters.
You are a stone cold fucking weirdo.
Yeah.
And I'm a weirdo. That's coming from a weirdo. So.
Right. In the Haunters documentary, they show side by side him wedding singing and then him like laughing at somebody as they're getting tortured. And it's so fucking creepy watching them side by side. It was a great moment of the documentary for them to put them next to each other like that.
Sociopaths and psychopaths can be charismatic, right? Like, isn't that the, you know, they can.
Oh, they are.
They are. They can turn it on.
And I think you might be right about him selling some of it because he does edit out the worst parts, mm-hmm. apparently.
Mm-hmm.
The gnarliness that you're seeing on YouTube apparently is like not the craziest thing that's going down there.
I'm sure.
And the sad thing is like he has kids and there were small kids living in this house. He ran the haunt out of his house. So they were just like, I don't know. Our dad likes to torture people. And they were just kind of giggling because they didn't fucking understand. But I watched an interview with his daughter and she hasn't seen him in about 10 years. And she said she has panic disorder now.
Of course. Yep.
She said that he was, yeah, obviously, right? Okay. Listen to this. His whole thing apparently is mind over matter. And he put his daughter in the haunt to try to teach her a lesson about mind over matter. But he won't do it himself. So I wonder if it was just like 1 minute of some. I don't even know. Like what?
Either way.
I don't know.
Either way.
Either way. Apparently he put her in it at some point. And also his ex-wife and his ex-girlfriend are both on the record saying that he's just like an abusive fucking psychopath and that he's a dangerous man. And I saw a really disturbing YouTube video. His girlfriend, I think it's maybe now his ex-girlfriend. I don't know. I don't know how this man finds women to date. But she is on her knees and there's this like whole big cage apparatus
mm-hmm.
set up outside. There's only, I don't know, there's like, it's really weird. There's like different cages and they're connected and there's, I don't know, maybe two, three feet tall.
Mm-hmm.
And her hands are bound behind her back.
Mm-hmm.
And she's got a hood over her head. And she's like, Ross, come on. I don't want to do this. He's like, shut up. Hurry up. You're wasting my time. Get over here. He makes her crawl over to the cage. And then he makes her crawl through it. And she's like, Russ, stop, please. I don't want to do this. He's spraying her with a hose, like simulate drowning her. And she's like, she's pleading for, I couldn't watch it. It was too hard. But like, he's like spraying her with like this hard hose, like in the face while she has this hood on, while she's in a cage pleading with him to stop.
Wow.
And he put this up on YouTube. So
I bet he did.
Yeah. So I don't know if you're upset now. I don't know, man. Like, we talk about really fucked up stuff, but for some reason, this shit, like, really fucked me up. But you know, I think the reason actually is that I saw videos of people real life getting tortured.
Yep.
I think that's why.
Yep.
That's not usually part of my research.
Right. Well, and it's like a lot of times we're talking about stuff that's happened in the past. So there's not, or that's all also illegal, but somehow they found a loophole. So this is legal. So there's videos of it on YouTube. And it's also something strange that like these people have, you know, there is a difference here because these people have voluntarily put themselves in these scenarios. And then, you know, kind of what you were saying with Blackout, which is it's simulating different versions of people's fantasies or their worst fears, really. I don't know what the difference is when you're putting yourself in the scenario, if it's a fantasy or a fear.
Honestly, I think it's a fine fucking line.
Right?
Yeah.
It's just such a weird, I don't know. I don't even know how to describe it. Because at least in Blackout, it's crossing a line, but this is looking at the line and going, not only are we going to cross it,
fuck that line,
right? Not only are we going to cross it, but we're going to take you somewhere that like you never really wanted to go. Although there's so much information online these days, especially now, these people absolutely have to, I mean, I'm sure you get one or two, but you have to be included in the Facebook group. You have to be, you know, indoctrinated into the cult basically before you get to go. So
totes.
You can't, there's no claim like, oh, I didn't know what I was getting into. Like, yo.
Oh no, that's always his thing. It's like, because he gets people on video, he Skypes with them first.
Yeah.
And he tells them, you really don't want to do this.
Exactly. So what's up with those folks that are giving this guy his, it's like giving a serial killer there. It's being like,
permission.
Kill me.
No, for sure.
You know?
These are, I mean, the people working in there, the thing is, if you're okay with doing that to people, I don't, well, okay, if you're okay with doing that to people, but we both get to end, I get to decide when it's over, and we have a mutually beneficial relationship where I am masochistic and you're sadistic, so we join up forces and we meet each other's needs in that way.
Right.
But then there's a safe word and we all stop when the fun's over, when it's not fun anymore. But if you are the type of person who wants to continue to go after the fun is over, you're a psycho. Yes. And I'm scared of you.
And that's the whole like BDSM thing, which is the control, like the master and the, or the dominant one and the submissive one, but there's control in both the roles, right? If you look at like what is happening there in that partnership, it's like somebody is saying, I give you control, I trust you to do it, and we're in like a safe space to play out these things, which is a lot of this stuff is a little like sadomasochistic, right? The BDSM stuff. But you're trusting somebody to say like, when it's over, it's over. And this is like so much more. So I don't even mean to equate anybody who is like into that fetishism stuff in that kink world. I don't even mean to equate that with this horror because they are totally different.
No, totally different.
But I'm just saying it's a controlled relationship in one area and a completely out of control dynamic in the other.
Exactly. Yeah. All right, gang. Well, we realize this episode's getting pretty long, so we're going to go ahead and wrap it up for today. But next week, we're going to be doing Cam's part, and she's going to be talking about Blackout, which is also super fucking nuts. So make sure to listen next week. And yeah, I'm super excited to talk to John and find out a little bit more about the things that are still so mysterious to us.
Right.
So check out our bonus episode with John. This interview with John this week is going to be a bonus episode that's available to everyone, but we still are going to have our exclusive Patreon episode this month. And we have a lot of other exciting stuff going on Patreon. We have like 6 different levels from $3 to $30. So lots of different ways to support, but there also are a lot of really cool little perks for signing up.
Yeah. And you guys, don't forget to subscribe and leave 5 stars if you're enjoying the show and you like what you hear. And if you do go that extra step and leave us a review, you'll be entered into a drawing to win a free TSFU mug.
They're in the mail.
Yeah. Thank you, Stacy, Breezer Weezer, and Jasmine, who actually left us reviews on Stitcher months ago, and we just saw them now. So thank you, thank you, thank you.
Yeah, just Jasmine.
Oh, just Jasmine.
Stacy and Breezer Weezer, they're recent, but sorry, Jasmine. We took a few months to find yours.
We're sorry, but we really appreciate it. If sometimes we're slow, but we'll get there. We'll find all the reviews. And you guys, remember to send in your winning bingo cards for a chance to pick one of next month's episode topics.
Please send them in along with your screenshots of your reviews and your listener-sewed stories, all to our email, gang@tsfuthepodcast@gmail.com. We got a couple of stories recently from Price and Millie. Thanks so much for sending those in. And don't forget to follow us on Facebook at That's So Fucked Up, the podcast. And you can also join our private group there. And you absolutely should, because we're trying to get that shit popping. And find us on Instagram, Twitter, and occasionally TikTok at TSFU the podcast. And yeah, that's about it for us. So we're going to try out our new sign off today. And remember, guys, life is horrible.
And everything is fucked.
Bum, 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 bum. That's fucked up. So fucked up. Can't you see? It's just really fucked. That's fucked up.